Hi, my name is Agile, and I support Gen X Grown Up through Patreon, and I believe you should too. Just go to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to this episode 103 of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is Mo.
Hey, everybody.
And, of course, George is here.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
In this episode, George takes the lead in the Gen X Grown-Up Desktop PC Arms Race. We review a new film where Nicolas Cage fights to get back his stolen truffle pig.
Oh, my God.
And play a game where you pilot drones into derelict spaceships to research how the universe became one giant graveyard.
That's a damn Nicolas Cage sentence that you don't want to believe is real. But yeah, it is.
But it is. Just you
that's
wait.
That's actually the plot. Anyway, that's okay.
It really
we'll
is.
Cover that. We'll cover that. Oh, yeah.
I'm eager to talk about it. That's mine. Yeah, I can't wait. Before we get into those topics and many more, though, time for some fourth listener email. And this one, George, is directed to you, and it's not about you being wrong.
What?
Whoa, oh, wow.
It's a red letter day.
Oh. I love these surprises like this. This is awesome.
Our fourth listener this episode is Rick. Long time listener.
Hell yeah.
Rick. Yeah, so Rick writes in, and the subject line of his email is, "Thanks, George."
That's what? The best subject line ever.
Right off the bat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, end of email, period. That's it.
Right. We don't need any more, frankly. George is happy.
Yeah.
The body of the email goes, "No, really."
For a second, I thought he was being sarcastic, to be honest.
No, seriously.
That's great.
So Rick says, "I just have to thank George for making my day. To find out Bosch is not gone was fantastic news."
Nice. Cool. Yep. Yes. Love that show.
In fact, I started watching Bosch on your recommendation.
Okay.
Love it.
You do love it.
And that's why I want to bring up too. I started watching it as well. I binge watched like 5 episodes and I'm like,
nice.
God damn it. The only thing I'm happy is that there's lots of seasons for me to look forward to.
There's right. a ton
yeah,
of
you've
it.
You've got 7 seasons to go through, yeah. so you're yeah. set. Yeah. And I finally remember the guy's name. It's Titus Welliver.
There you go.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's odd name. Yeah. I've seen him in everything, but I could
but
never
he's a great
name.
Actor. I love
him. Oh, yeah.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I've seen more of our listeners over on Discord talking about picking it up too. So, what a recommendation. So
yeah.
Rick, however, was already watching it. And like you, it was about to end and he was upset and he didn't know the news. So yeah, he goes on to say, in addition to Bosch, he says, "Now, if only we can do the same for The Expanse."
Yes. It has one more season coming. For
does
sure.
have one more?
It okay. absolutely really. Has one more.
I got to play catch up on like 2.5 seasons, I think.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, I hope it doesn't end, but yeah.
Apparently, IMDb TV is just picking up everything. So who knows? They might pick this up, too.
That's true.
Could be. Rick wraps it up with maybe one of the best salutations I've seen. OG fourth listener, Rick. And he is. Absolutely. From early, years and years ago, Rick has been listening. Thank you so much, Rick, for writing in. I thank George, too. He exposed me to Bosch.
Yeah. Thank you, George.
I've never heard John stutter as much as when he's trying to thank me
it's
on
like,
the podcast.
Yes. I also want to say,
gotta get
thank
it
you, George.
We really appreciate your writing in. Hey, fourth listener, if you would like your email featured here on the show, it's easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. Read every single one, and most of them, like Rick's, will make the show. All right. Well, we teased some pretty weird things at the top of the show, so I think it's time to pull back the curtain and get into them right after this break.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
Just a kiss of golden honey on those little golden crayons. A kiss of golden honey makes you smile and wanna say, tastes like honey crayon crackers, crispy, crunchy all the way. Oh yeah, it's gonna be a golden graham day.
Tastes like crisp little honey graham crackers.
Part of this good, nutritious breakfast.
It's the golden honey makes you smile and want to stay.
We're going to get rolling here at the top of the show, talking about media, of course. Mm-hmm. It could be a television or film or comics or books or music or whatever it is we have been checking out in the world of media. Now, Mo, a couple episodes ago, you were looking forward to something that...
Oh, my God.
I actually cannot wait to bust your balls about, because you were actually looking forward to this new Space Jam movie.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring that up.
That is not the thing you're going to talk about today.
Oh, hell no. That's not even worth talking about. It is the worst movie. It's like MGM had inferiority complex over Disney, and they wanted to show everything that they've ever done in their history and throw it into a movie. It was the worst freaking movie.
But you did watch it? So you checked it out. You watched it.
I watched
it.
The whole thing. The first one was charming. The very first, remember the first Space Jam?
Yeah, Michael Jordan.
It was charming, wasn't it? It was cute.
It was cute. I liked it. It wasn't something I'm going to go back and watch over and over again, but it was cute for the time. It was fun.
This was terrible. It was terrible. Oh, my God. Anyway, can we move away from this and talk about a good movie?
I didn't want to move toward it in the first place. That was
all right, good. Thank you. We're all in agreement then, so that's good. So
I just wanted to beat Mo up with it for a second. That was all it was.
Yeah, no, trust me. Me watching the movie was punishment enough.
All right. You've served your penance. All right. Do you have something worthwhile to talk
about?
Absolutely.
So this
media?
Is a movie that I had never seen, and it's one of those I'm kicking myself that I have not seen this one before. It's called Hunt for the Wilder People.
Taika Waititi directed.
Yep, Taika Waititi came out in 2016. It had Sam Neill in it. Great actor. Julian Dennison, the kid from Deadpool 2.
Oh, really? The Firestarter kid.
Yep, the Firestarter kid.
Exactly. Yep.
The basic premise is that the kid, his name is Ricky, and he's like a defiant kid that's in the system, and every place he's been has been horrible, and he gets placed in this home, and this woman is just so unrelentingly kind and nice that he starts to warm up to her. And things happen, and he winds up going off with the father, the dad in this, and there's a whole manhunt because they think they're actually like, he kidnapped him, and he did, and it was just a whole thing. And it's funny, it's charming, it's heartwarming. There's a woman chasing him, like a social worker. And she was in Thor Ragnarok. She was the one that would hand the main bad guy, like the glowy stick that disintegrated people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? You know, he's like, why are you handing me the glowy stick? So she's in it. But the cast it's not a big cast, but let me tell you, that it was such a good movie. And I had never seen it.
It's an incredibly unlikely buddy film.
Yeah, very much
so. Kind of turned into, toward the end at least, like these two people should not even like each other. And then they end up begrudgingly like, all right, turns out I kind of like you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's really what it is. And Julian Dennison, I mean, he kind of has like a niche role apparently, you know, with that kind of loudmouth rebellious kid sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he does it so well.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. If you got something, go with it, right? So...
I mean, he just does such a good job at it. And Sam Neill, which I didn't even know that was Sam Neill until I was like halfway in the movie. I'm like, wait a minute. I know that guy.
Yeah.
Because he has this big bushy beard and, you know, all that stuff. It's an amazing film. If you get a chance to watch it, it totally wiped out my Space Jam bad juju and put me back in like in a more even keel. So I was so glad I discovered that film. It was awesome.
How did you discover it after all this time? I probably watched it maybe in 2017 or 18, a few years back.
Yeah, because it came out 2016.
How did you find it after all this time?
Actually, somebody recommended it to me because I like the smaller movies, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, have you ever seen Hunt for the Wilder People? I'm like, Hunt for the who?
Right. Yeah, sounds
dumb.
And
then I found out who directed it. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
I've liked everything he's done. So I said, let me check it out. Really happy I did.
Yeah, it was one of his earlier films. I think it was just after What We Do in the Shadows, but before he became a superstar and started doing Marvel stuff and you know, all kinds of crap like
Star Wars stuff and all that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
He could spin a story, let me tell you.
He can. He's like M. Night Shyamalan if M. Night Shyamalan didn't screw up every other film.
Right. If M. Night Shyamalan was more consistently good, then this
That's
would
right.
be
him. Yeah. Right. Right. He's a craftsman. Like you can kind of see his films in every film. You can see his fingerprints on it, except Shyamalan's fingerprints are all muddy and chocolate and green grimy instead. Right?
How many more analogies or euphemisms do we need for how inconsistent M. Night Shyamalan is?
I got more. If you want to get more. How many more do you need? I think we're clear, though. I think we got it. Yeah.
I think we got it. So let's move on. So that's what I watched. So, George, what have you been watching?
Well, you know, I went to go watch a film brand new in the theaters from 2020.
All right.
I went to go see Black Widow because this damn thing finally came out.
Finally. Yeah, I know. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Been waiting for a while for that one, obviously. It was a very fun film. I was curious because I stayed away from all the trailers as much as I could, even this whole extra time that we've been waiting for the movie to come out. I was kind of curious, how are you going to show me Black Widow? She died in Endgame. How are you going to show me Black Widow? And all these characters and what's going to happen. I really enjoyed that they backtracked the timeline. So they put this one square in between the two Avenger films. So it's in between Infinity War and Endgame.
Right.
Is when this one takes place. So it's after the blip, you know, when everybody's turned to ash and Hawkeye is off doing his crazy mercenary thing and all of that. And she has to go off on this mission that, you know, just kind of drops in her lap sort of thing. It's not really a mission. Like, she's not with the Avengers at this point. They've all broken up. They're, some of them are in jail, and she's like, try and catch me if you can, blah, blah. Really good film. Solidly well done. It's not the best of the Marvel films or the MCU universe, but it's a solid entry in that universe, and it puts forth the next generation of stories. I don't want to spoil it, but you almost kind of have to if you're going to talk about the really good stuff that's in it. Because a lot of it happens at the end of it to kind of show you a foreshadowing. There was a character that's in this film that you can tell this film was supposed to come out before.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I know
because what you're there's a about. Character that's in the end of that series as well. You can tell she was introduced in this movie and then we were supposed to see her in Falcon and Winter Soldier. But they did a good job of handling that. I think it's definitely worth the AMC full price rating for me.
Oh, full price. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I watched it too, and not the best movie, but it was good. All the acting was great.
Right.
It had some humor in it too. It was funny. The relationship with her and her sister, I thought was really fun. You know, how they kind of played off each other.
Yes.
It wasn't necessarily a movie that had to happen, but it was nice to have it fill in that gap, because they also talk about some backstory stuff. Like, they keep talking about Budapest, and they finally figure out what the story, the significance of
that. Right,
right.
They've been referenced to that many times, haven't they? Yeah.
I think the only disappointment for me, and it's a nitpick disappointment, is just that Stranger Things Sheriff doesn't get to have more good fight scenes than he has.
Yeah, he had
because
some, but
his
nothing...
character is the super soldier from Russia, so he and Captain America are
the
supposed
Soviet
to be equal,
Union.
Right? And he has this whole thing, this inferiority complex the whole through movie, like, you know, did Captain America ask about me? He's asking Black Widow. You know,
really?
Just these cute little things. And you know, the actor plays him perfectly. I think he does a great job with it. But I would have loved to have seen a few more fight scenes. He really kind of only has two. And in one of them, he kind of gets handled. And I don't know. Taskmaster was a great character and a great reveal. Really good job with that. And the guy who was the evil bad guy, I can't remember the actor's name, but he's been in quite a few things. He was in Departed and a whole bunch of other movies. So
he's a good bad guy.
Yeah. Brendan Gleeson, is that his name?
I don't remember.
Anyway, good film. If you're interested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's definitely worth going to see.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. Not because I'm avoiding it. It's just there's a lot of other stuff I have been watching or catching up on kind of stuff. You got me hooked on Bosch, like I said before. Yeah. I've been kind of binging that. I haven't been getting out to the theater yet. So, but yeah, looking forward to seeing it.
Let's talk a little bit about that stuff you've been watching, because from the teaser, I'm not sure why you're so high
on it.
I haven't seen it yet. Like, you haven't seen Black Widow.
Some quality stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're coming in with Nicolas Cage in a movie called what?
I mean, we know Nicolas Cage is the modern direct-to-video king right now. The guy is just doing nothing but direct-to-video releases.
I know. But I know. I know all the baggage that this comes with.
A truffle pig? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So let me just shake all that off.
All right. All right.
The film that I want to talk about, I had never seen a trailer for at all. It just came out in theaters. I'm like, okay, I'm interested. I saw just a little blurb about it, and the blurb was... I'll describe what the film is. It's Nicolas Cage has retired from being a chef in Portland to being in the woods of Oregon hunting for truffles with his truffle pig. And his pig gets stolen. He has to retrieve it.
That made you want to see this.
Yes. Yeah, it did. Because it's
batshit crazy. Everybody could see the look on your face when you had to think about that before you answered.
I mean, well, Mo, that's a great question. Like, why would you want to see a movie based on that?
Yeah.
But for the same reason I wanted to see Velocipede. pastor last time. It's so batshit crazy. I want to know what you do with a film like that. So I'm like, really? They actually made a film about a guy who hunts truffles with a pig in the woods and somebody steals his pig and he has to retrieve it? What are you doing with that film? And plus it's Nicolas Cage, who he's like a manic, weird actor who so is himself. In anything okay. crazy.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So what is, we're in July of 2021. For me, this is my film of the year for 2021.
What? Come
I
on.
Loved this movie. Maybe something else will come out between now and the end of the year.
I just seriously. Hear unsubscribe buttons clicking left
click,
and
click,
right.
Click, 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 right, right.
No, look, they'll do it once they see
you
the movie.
You can't even hear me over the unsubscribe buttons being clicked.
So wait a minute. It was that good. It was that good.
Yeah. So let me tell you why. First, you've got to watch it. And Mo, George, when you watch it, you're going to watch it. You're going to come back to me and go, damn it, John, you were right. It's despite okay. myself, I liked it.
Okay. I kind of.
You're going to want to hate it.
I want to watch it just to see if you're good, if I'm going to come back.
Yeah,
I know.
A while back, we had Mo make this incredible, you know, prediction that we were going to love this Solos thing.
True.
And yep. Like, OK, well, didn't really love it. And I kind of want to come back and see if you disappoint me or not. I might have to go see this tonight.
So I don't want to beat this film to death because I don't want to spoil it because it's brand new. But let me tell you why it resonated with me, why I really liked it, why I think it's such a great film. So it's Nicolas Cage, who has in his time, he has been a huge movie star. He has been a huge box office draw. He has been known for his cage rage and his manic, wide-eyed, over-the-top kind of acting. And none of that is present in this film. This entire film is a very small film. The stakes are very low. Literally, the stakes are about a pig, right? It's not about saving the planet. It's not about breaking out of Alcatraz, right? It's not about the life of somebody. It's about a pet, really. And so the character used to be a legendary chef in Portland, and he retired. He got out of the game. And you remember we've talked about like a John Wick or in Nobody, how you find out more about the character by how people react to him when he comes into the world, you know, like they go, oh, you're that guy kind of thing. And people realize, oh, you're that chef. Oh my goodness. You know, you recognize him. But actually this story, it is about retrieving the lost pig, but it's why he left the world that he lived in. It's a story about loss. It's a story about coming to terms with things that you never had like finalization for. It's about finalizing relationships that you just never had a finality for. I wish you could see George holding in his laughter. He's just having to laugh at me.
I'm not laughing at you.
In the movie.
I'm looking at you. I'm laughing at you as an aside because I'm watching Mo's face as you're describing this thing.
And he's going, mm-mm. Mo's got this bullshit look on his face. George is trying to hold in laughter.
I mean, again, from what the movie kind of like, what it, the synopsis of it, Nicolas Cage, the fact that it's titled Pig. And
that's right.
I'm not getting any of what you're saying from that.
Yeah, like at any point, does he ever say that'll do? Does he ever say that? No.
No, no, no.
Well, that feels like a missed opportunity.
Does the pig talk to him at all?
No, no, no. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe. I don't know if I could give him this much credit. Maybe the filmmakers said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set the bar so low that you're going to come into this film thinking, what a joke this movie's going to be that it's going to catch you off guard. I'm not ashamed to say that I teared up a couple of times in this film. Not over a pig, over the people involved that you relate to in this film and what happens in the film.
I will watch it.
Yeah, I did see the trailer of this when I went to see a couple of films at AMC lately.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was with me at one of them and we both looked at each other like, what the fuck was that?
Understandable.
You know,
understandable.
And I know we've seen in Discord channel that we're not safe for kids traveling in cars. So Sparks or whoever it was, I apologize because I know I'm not kid friendly, but that was both mine and my son's reactions when we saw it. He was like, are you going to go see that with your A-list? I'm like, No, I can't. I don't even want to waste time grabbing that from, you know, the interwebs or something. But now that you're talking about it the way you're talking about it, I don't have a choice. I've got to go watch the damn movie.
We have to, don't we?
I guess we'll see.
Wouldn't it be amazing if this is all like a scam, but John's just like gonna just, he hated the movie, it's awful, and he just talked us into watching it.
Y'all keep making fun of me about Goonies, I'm gonna make you watch Pig.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna watch
Pig. This long con with Pig. No. So let me seal the deal. Let me tell you that this is not a major spoiler. About a third of the way through the film, you find out that in the Portland restaurant community, there is a secret underground fight club.
Oh,
and
shut up.
Still, okay. That still didn't turn me off the film. It still made the film great.
I almost want to go see that Bigfoot movie instead, but okay.
Right. No. Way better. Way better than Fur. Better than the Bigfoot.
Okay.
Pig. Brand film new of the in year. Theaters. Mm. It's my film of the year right now. It's great. Great. I would watch it again right now. So mark my words. I can't wait for you guys to see it. Listeners, if you see it, write in. Tell me how awesome it was. I can't wait to hear it. The reviews are actually very polarizing. Rotten Tomatoes has it at a 97%.
Wow.
The audience is like at an 85%, though.
Oh, that's still pretty good.
People either love it or hate it. The reviews I see give it a 1 or a 10. quite polarizing.
Okay.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
What's that?
Oatmeal. It's good for you.
Well, Ma, if you don't mind, I'd rather have my Rice Krispies.
Oh? They didn't teach you about vitamins in medical school?
Ma.
You were absent when they talked about nourishing foods like good old-fashioned oatmeal.
Mother. Kellogg's Rice Krispies is higher in iron and 8 very nourishing vitamins than your oatmeal.
Well, Mr. Doctor, is that a fact?
Yes. But if you prefer a second opinion...
Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies!
Okay, so we're going to get into tech and toys.
All right.
I want to talk about something that is in the news, which is these ultra-rich people going into space.
Ah, okay.
Okay. All right. First of all, going into space should be
exactly
kind of
with
an asterisk for starters.
Right. going to air quotes space,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, all right, yeah.
So I have very mixed feelings about this because part of me is like, okay, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
If I had unlimited money, now I don't know if I'd pay to spend 4 minutes in space. But I would pay a lot of money to go like to the International Space Station for a week.
I mean, Tom Hanks and those guys doing Apollo 13, they got about 2.5 minutes worth of waitlist time just in the air.
Right.
Just on the C-130 as they were doing the parabolic
the vomit comet thing, right?
Yeah. So I'm honestly have very, very mixed feelings about it. It's obviously a dick thing, right? I mean...
Well, if you saw Bezos's capsule,
exactly,
you definitely think that
it almost seems like the latest billionaires' measuring stick, right? It seems like because even Richard Branson, Bezos, and Elon Musk is trying to go to Mars. I don't know. I was kind of curious what your guys' thoughts are on this.
Who's going first?
Go ahead, George.
I think I'm of two minds.
Yeah.
A, it's nice to see in my lifetime civilians getting to that level of altitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they're going to space because
technically they did, but
they
edging
up. It felt like, like if you got on a plane and you just kept pulling back on the yoke, and eventually you'd get there, right?
Yeah.
You get to that same kind of level. But so, yes, they made major accomplishment, though, because it's civilians on a rocket going to an orbitable level of space.
Right. Yep. Right.
However, I watched a little bit of the Branson stuff, not so much the Bezos stuff, because, he was second, and who the fuck gives a shit about second place?
Wow.
And he had, what's his name, Stephen Colbert, kind of hosting part of his flight and the whole thing.
He was like emceeing it, kind
of. He was emceeing it. If you watch any of Colbert's coverage about it, Colbert has ripped him a new asshole.
Yeah.
Because he has him on there and Branson says, I took this picture of you to space. And then he's pointing out that the picture he gave to Colbert later saying this has been to space, it's a completely different fucking picture than the one he actually put in his pocket going to space.
Jeez.
Like, come on. How slimy do you have to be that you're going to swap stuff? Like, yeah, that's just stupid. And Colbert called him out for it. The other thing, the whole let's act like we were at the end of a Formula One race and spray champagne all over each other at the end. It makes it feel cheesy and, you know, media grabbing, attention seeking kind of shit. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to think that another person of my species has amassed enough wealth to be able to do this.
Multiple people.
Right. But I am also ashamed that these are the representatives of my human species who have done this.
Okay. That's all. I definitely see those points there. So what do you think, John?
So I, like George, I'm also of two minds about it. I thought you were going to say the same thing I was thinking, but actually slightly different. I mean, it's cool to see people be able to go into space. Again, I'll use the air quotes again. Whatever. I mean, you could quantify it if you want. Still, look, if I could do that, I think I would probably do that too. Maybe I'm too scared to do it because it's pretty damn dangerous, but okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll try to do that. The of two minds that I am is like, look, if I could afford to go to space, if I go to the space station, I absolutely would want to. That would be amazing. And I would want to do that. Wow. Mm-hmm. How cool would that be? Yes. However, as a human being on the planet, if I have amassed that kind of wealth, do I not also have like an obligation to spend that wealth to do something a little more humanitarian that isn't totally selfish?
Yeah.
You know, but granted, it's my money. Shouldn't I be allowed to do that?
So
I'm really torn. I'm like, they're entitled to spend their money the way they want. I get that. However, then I see people like Bill and Melinda Gates, who they've amassed that kind of fortune, and look at the good they are doing in the world with it. And I'm not a bleeding heart, liberal, humanitarian, you know, kind of thing. I just believe you should give back if you have amassed that kind of money. You know, and George is probably thinking, listen, Bezos, spend a little bit of that money helping out get my shit delivered faster. Right. Like, you would like to spend a little bit.
Or invest in Gen X Grown Up, take us international, whatever.
Absolutely. I hear about the working conditions at Amazon warehouses or whatever. I'm like, he got to space on the back of workers that aren't making the wages they should and that kind of thing.
With bad working conditions.
Yeah, like near slave labor proportion. Yeah, slave labor, because I don't want to make that comparison, but really silly conditions that he got super rich on.
The really telling kind of joke I heard from somebody that said, Bezos spent 5 minutes in space, or as some people call it, the length of a break on an 18-hour shift at the Amazon warehouse.
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about it. It's neat, but I'm a little ambivalent about spending that much money for one person's joyride when maybe you could do more with it.
In his post-press conference comment that he made about that, where he said, I'm so thankful to the workers and the shoppers and help me go space. You paid for it. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How tone deaf do you have to be?
Tone deaf are you? Mm-hmm. That's stupid.
You're not kidding. And I definitely agree with all the things that you guys said. And part of me is like, I admire and in awe of the technological achievement, especially when you see like the rocket freaking land on its tail.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, that's amazing to me. But I also think that, you know, for these billions, these guys have so much money. They can definitely walk and chew gum at the same time. They can spend the money on this and still spend $10 billion in helping people, which I don't really see them doing that much. And maybe they do. They don't talk about it. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I'm kind of like you. I'm sort of a two minds of it, too. It's like, you know, take some of that money and raise some wages. Or
this is the kind of crap that makes me wish the Purge was real. That's all I'm saying. And just hyper focused on a few people.
I don't think we're some Wall Street folks, but okay. All right. Well, cool. I just thought it was an interesting topic, especially in the news right now. And I totally get you. But okay, so let's move some more down to earth stuff. So, John, I know you got something.
I see what you did there, down to earth. I get it.
Yeah, I'm learning from John. I'm learning from the best.
No, I'm not. Not learning from the best.
Oh, God, he's the master of the segue.
Oh, my goodness. It's a tough crowd.
So, John, I know you got some stuff that you want to talk about today, some techie stuff that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, another item that I got during the Prime Day a few weeks back. You know, we all spend more and more and more time, I know I do, especially in conference calls and, you know, earbuds and headsets and stuff on. And I've had a decent one for a while, but I was in the market for a new headset. So I found one during Prime Day that I was looking at. Right now, it's back to its generally high price of like $69, I think. Mm. And I think maybe it was $49 on sale. But it's made by HyperX. It's this Cloud 2 gaming headset. And what I was looking for was a nice comfortable headset that has over the ear, because I need like the noise isolation of over the ear. comfortable. It has like the memory foam kind of thing. And it has that. It has a lot of features that it touts. It says it's got 7.1 surround sound.
And a headset?
I've not experienced that. Apparently it has a bunch of little speakers in it. I don't know how that works. If games support it, I don't know. I don't use those. I don't play those games. I play Donkey Kong and that's mono. I don't know how that works. And it has an aluminum frame. And it's very lightweight.
Okay.
But it has some things about it that I do want to talk about that they don't really advertise. So first of all, I opened it up and I ordered a USB headset and opened it up and it has this little headphone jack. And I'm like, well, damn it. This doesn't help me. It has a headphone jack on it. And my computer is 12 foot away from me across the room. And I was about to box it up and send it back. And I'm like, well, let me check and see what I bought. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. It has an audio card on a cable inside the box that is on USB. So what I realized was, so you plug that in USB and there's this little dongle box that has like microphone up and down gain, headphone up and down gain, turning on the 7.1 decoding. But that actually is like a USB audio card. And now into that, you plug this headset. Now, the good thing is now I can plug any headset into that if I wanted to. It has a headset jack, but I'm keeping this one. So that was pretty cool. I didn't realize that was a thing. I was unaware. So that's a neat thing. The second thing that they mentioned, but it didn't resonate with me, that I didn't advertise very well, that I liked about it is it has and ships with any over-the-ear headset, has those rubbery, vinyl-y, faux leather over-the-ear headset things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's great for about 45 minutes. And then my ears are damn sweating,
right?
And it's hot in there. What it also comes with, though, are these very lightweight, breathable foam pads that you can take off the rubbery ones and put these foam ones on.
Ah, okay.
Very breathable.
Are they a sound?
They're not. And I love that about them. They're not as soundproof, so I can hear the outside world better. Mm. They're lighter and they don't make your ears sweat. And it just feels better overall. There's less pressure. Just in general, having that rubber on your head all day. And I sometimes will have 6-8 hours of conference calls in a day, believe it or not, sometimes for work. And that can really wear on you over time. And so they have these extra pads on them. So overall, I've talked about things that aren't the sound quality, what you would expect for a $70 pair of headphones. Yes, they sound great. The microphone quality is great. A very, very flexible boom microphone that you can unplug and plug back in however you want to do that.
Oh, you actually take it off. That's nice.
Yeah, you could take it off entirely. So I'd never owned anything by this company. From my using it probably now since Prime was about been 3-4 weeks now, I would say I would recommend them for the price at $70. It's probably the top edge of what I would pay for something like this. I know you can spend as much as you want for gaming headphones.
People do spend a lot on these things.
It's $70 is probably the most I would ever pay for Prime. I think I spent about $50 for them, which I felt like that was a really cheap way to get into them and see if it was worth it. And for $50, easy to recommend if you use them regularly like I do.
Do they have a volume control on them?
They do, right on that little box, that dongle. Volume control right on there, up, down, both for the speaker and for the volume gain. So if it's too loud or too soft, you know, you often have to dig in your computer to find the volume up and down. The gain for the mic.
I hate that.
That's right on the box. You can do it up and down right there. So
cool.
Yeah, it's a decent little thing. And I'll give you a link, Mo, if somebody is interested.
Yeah, please.
And even if this one's too steep, HyperX has several in the line. There's a range from this one, you know, up and down, more expensive and less expensive ones. It's a quality piece, lightweight. You could pick worse, I think. So
all right, cool.
All right. I've been waiting to hear the details on this one, George. So I've seen details in Discord. I've heard anecdotal evidence. I know that you have been chomping the bit. You were ready, ready, ready. What do you got to talk about?
Yeah. So I am squarely in between what John bought and what Jeff Bezos bought. I'm almost at the midpoint between those two. So I finally picked up a new desktop tower PC.
Oh my God. You've been talking about these for a year.
Been waiting. You know, this Alienware that I use for day-to-day stuff still, even right now, it's a solid system. I've had it for 7+ years. It served me well. It just got long in the tooth where it couldn't do some of the things that I wanted to do. Certain games I couldn't play. People know my woes with the streaming and stuff, you know, stuttering and whatnot. And it was just getting to the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to get a new PC. Instead of going with a laptop this time, like I did for the Alienware, I wanted a tower this time. You two gentlemen had already purchased towers from a company called Skytech Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the Skytech Gaming Siege 3.0. I don't know if they had a 2.0 or a 1.0 at some point, and this is just the newest version of that line. but it is a ginormous black box. Holy hell. When I used to build DCs, this is 3 or 4 Frankensteins larger than the desktop PCs that I used to build.
Frankensteins. Okay.
It's like 21 inches tall and 19 inches deep and 10 inches wide. It's ridiculous.
Can I just say the name Siege sounds very aggressive?
Siege, yes. Siege. It's solid black aluminum all the way around. It's got great air vents on the top and bottom with these little mesh magnetic things where you can peel them on and put them off. And they're like little air filter kind of things for the fans on the outside of the box, not the inside. Super nice, high performance glass side panel, tempered steel, whatever the hell, non-breakable shit. And you have to have the glass side panel because it's got
tons of lights
and RGBs and little things spinning around. And I expect to see like a lemming pop out and run around down the case at any point.
The lights are so stupid, but aren't they so awesome?
They are, you know. And so with this company, they send in some extra things. I got a really nice gaming keyboard, or at least one that I consider a gaming keyboard. My sons would probably go, that's not a gaming keyboard. but to me, it's a nice mechanical RGB keyboard, a mouse to go with it. They're branded. They're very sleek and stylish. It came with, in this box, John, you talked about it, I think, the bag that was around it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that whole unboxing process, right?
Yeah.
It
wasn't personalized like my Alienware was when I bought it. My Alienware, when I bought it, was like, welcome, George, to your new PC, you know, and it had all this with my name in it. This didn't have that, of course. Price, little expensive, $2,570. Not cheap.
I just had a shudder.
But I'll tell you the stuff that's in it, and then listeners can decide whether or not I made a good deal or not. I'm sure I didn't, because tech is through the roof right now on its prices. Know.
Especially video cards are ridiculous.
Yeah, you're paying a tax right now on you're paying a microchip COVID tax, I guess.
Yeah, or whatever. Anyway, so it's the CPU is an Intel Core i9-10900K, 10 cores, max boost up to 5.3 gigahertz, 10 cores, 20 threads, you know, which is nice. the graphics card is an AMD Radeon 6800 XT with 16 gigs on board. The motherboard is a Z490. And this was something I'm learning now. These motherboards, they've branded them or modeled them, and different manufacturers are making different motherboards. So you've got an Asus Z490, and you've got a Dell Z490, and you got all these different companies making the Z490 form, I guess.
They're like families that have certain specs.
Oddly enough, even though most of them will be the same, there are some of them that are considerably different based on the cost. So like your Z490 from this company might have 4 memory slots, and your other one from this company might only have 2 memory slots. Little stuff like that. As I was researching all the specs under my card, it's got a 1 terabyte M2 NVMe SSD for the hard drive, big 750 watt power supply, 802.11 networking, as you would imagine. Windows 10 Home came pre-installed. 1 year warranty on parts and labor. You know, you expect that. They do give you lifetime technical support. Depends on how long the company is around is how good that is. I think the one thing that, and I've mentioned this in the Discord chats and asked people questions and whatnot, I was very shocked and surprised that it did not come with Bluetooth already in it.
I'm actually a little surprised by that too, to be honest.
But apparently, I guess that's not unusual from the comments I got in Discord and when I called in to ask TechSupport, why can't I find my Bluetooth device? They're like, we don't guarantee that it comes with one. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? You don't guarantee? Like,
I mean, sometimes it comes in
and some of it doesn't? That's bullshit. Yeah.
Maybe they're pre-built as a motherboards or something. I don't know.
Right. I did have to grab a little USB Bluetooth dongle. No big deal. They're like $7-$8. You can get them on Amazon.
Yeah, that's true. They are pretty cheap.
It was just slightly annoying.
Yeah.
Why do you got to? I'm going to spend $2,600 with you. You can't throw in a $7 Bluetooth dongle.
Yeah.
Come on. It was
an inconvenience more than anything. Right. Yeah.
I shouldn't have any inconveniences at that. I love the PC. John has been with me on a couple of test runs streaming in Discord. It is smooth as butter on everything from what did we test? We tested the Burnout Paradise game. We tested Alan Wake.
You did your Cloud Punk game. You tried that one out. Yeah, we talked about last episode. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff just the graphic. I love the fact that any game I play right now, I get to just say ultra settings, ultra
max,
settings,
max,
ultra
settings, max,
whatever.
Yep.
Give it all to me. I don't
care. Great.
You should be able to do that for years, hopefully.
Fish swimming underneath the water. I want to see them. Mm-hmm. I want to see their children inside their bellies. I don't care. I want to see it all. Love it. Love the system. The only downside that I'm having is just trying to figure out how to fit this behemoth on my desk somewhere, because I don't want to put it under the desk. It's all pretty and lights, and I don't want to stick it by my
feet. It's got lights. I know. You want to see it.
Have you done the thing yet where you go back through your library of old games and you crank, you fire them up and just to see what they look like good now?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Bioshocks, yep. All the Bioshocks and the remasters have all been installed. Yep. The Mass Effects. Yes. Everything. And it's
just to see how it looks.
Yeah, and you're kind of fooling yourself, because the last time I played those games was, you know, a year or two ago, and I was playing them on the Alienware. I can't really remember how they looked.
Yeah.
But you just imagine, wow, look at how gorgeous this is, you know.
It's gorgeous now, so that's all that matters.
It is gorgeous now.
Yeah.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at GenXGrownUp.com.
Max Steel's
RoboForce!
I
found you, Max!
Ideal's RoboForce. Warrior robots with gripper bases and crusher arms. Max Steel, the leader. Volgar, the destroyer. Copdor, the enforcer. Each sold separately.
Your gripper base will save you! I'll get you next time, Max Steel!
Coptor the Enforcer, Max Steel the Leader, Volgar the Destroyer, each sold separately from Ideal's RoboForce.
This is the main event of the podcast! For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Three rounds in the GXG Gaming Division.
And let's jump right into round number one of the game segment. Since I was talking about my Seas 3.0, I'm going to talk about Cyberpunk 2077 because I can finally play that sumbitch. Oh my goodness, I'm
Could
so
you
happy.
Even launch that game on your old computer?
No. Like, I tried two games on my Alienware that would launch, but it was one or maybe two frames per second. It was awful. It was this and Star Wars Squadrons were terrible.
Forget it. Yeah.
But I want to talk about Cyberpunk 2077. It's a newish game. John, I know you talked about it back in December when you first started playing it, right?
That's right. Well, it first came out at the end of the year last year. It was episode 87, I think. And I talked about it. I downloaded it. I had started playing it. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it wasn't ready and it wasn't quite right for me. I did a refund on it and I'm waiting. And so I'm eager to hear what you think about it. Now, this is 6 months on. They've had a chance to do all these bug fixes and you're playing it on a Rockstar PC. So yeah. Tell us what you think.
So what I think is I'm too fucking old to play games anymore. That's what I figured out from playing this game.
How is that?
So I don't know. You played it more than I did, maybe. I'm not sure.
A couple hours. Yeah.
I finished it.
You finished it? Okay. So yeah. Mo knows it really well then. I can't even get out of the tutorial level. That's how crappy I am at playing video games. There's a scene where you have to distract a guard by hacking a TV and then you have to run up sneakily behind him and incapacitate him. I just keep getting reset. Apparently I do everything wrong. I knock him out as hard as I can. That's not good. He shoots me. That's obviously not good. I just keep getting reset in this damn level all the time. I haven't gotten past that part. It feels, Mo, tell me, did you play this with a controller or with a keyboard mouse?
A controller.
Okay, so I've been trying with the keyboard mouse because it looked like all the different options you had to do in the game, it seemed like it was more suited to a keyboard than it would be a controller.
I had an Xbox controller. It seemed to work fine.
Maybe I'll go back to it and play it like that then, because I'm more comfortable with a controller at this point in my life because I've been playing on the Xbox and Steam games and everything like that. Keyboard mouse, my arthritis, it was hurting after 5 or 10 minutes. I'm old, I guess, so... But it is gorgeous. Oh my God, is the game gorgeous.
And here's George, the youngest of us.
Yeah, I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest Gen Xer, and the arthritis is kicking my ass. But it's a gorgeous game. I haven't gotten to Keanu Reeves, obviously, yet, because I'm still in the tutorials. And
he
doesn't make his appearance until much later because he's in his trailer somewhere eating green bonbons or something. I don't know. But I think it's going to be a fun game. It's interesting that you two have different experiences. So I kind of want to ask, John, you refunded it. Mo, what did you think of your playthrough all the way through?
I thought it was great. It kept my interest the whole time. I didn't have the same kind of issues I think that John did, as far as there were a couple little glitchy things, but nothing I couldn't live. They didn't interrupt the gameplay for me.
Okay.
So I was okay with them. After I finished it, I started playing with a different character at the beginning just to see how different it was.
Okay.
And then I sort of lost interest after that. But it was definitely like a different story depending on who you pick and how you play the game. So I thought it was pretty decent.
And the story-driven element seems strong.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
At least the small little 10 or 15 minutes into the game I'm at this point.
There's plenty of immersion to be had. There's a lot of storytelling, you're right. And my problem was not with the glitchiness that everybody was complaining about. Really, for me, it was like there was actually so much immersion that I felt like I really wasn't ready for it right now. And I'd heard about the glitchiness. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to encounter that stuff and have it damage the storytelling. So I said, you know, I'll refund it now. It'll be on sale in 6-8 months. I'll buy it again later when it's fixed. And then I'll play it because story is so important to games for me that I don't want to play it and have the whatever the glitches that are coming that I hadn't encountered yet to make it not me upset and go, oh, garbage game. I'd wait. So that's
I can understand.
I'm still in the future for me still.
Well, now that I got the Bluetooth dongle in from Amazon finally after my 17 million days worth of shipping wait time, I'll probably go back to it with a controller, see if that works a little bit better for me, and give it a real attempt, a real run through. Mo, since you gave it such a high recommendation, I kind of want to find out what you're playing right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm actually playing an older game. It's a game I got through the Steam sale when everything was on sale.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Same where I got the Cyberpunk game.
Yeah. Thing was on my wish list forever and it came down. It's called Duskers. So it's an interesting game. So how it's described, you pilot drones into derelict spaceships to find the means to survive and piece together how the universe became a giant graveyard. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So you have a ship and, you know, you have a little star system, and basically you have like limited fuel and stuff, and you don't actually go onto these ships. You have up to 4 drones that you send in and you control them various through either keyboard or you do click and point mouse controls. Each drone has different capabilities.
Sure.
And you can even modify them. You can even swap them out. Like say, okay, I want this one to be able to do these 2 tasks and this one to do these 2. You know, so you have some interchangeability in there. And when you go into the ships, you're basically scavenging all these derelict ships to get fuel and parts and enhancements, that kind of thing. And when you're on a ship, I think that the top-down view is kind of cool because it's almost like it almost looks like a blueprint sort of top view, because it's definitely like a 2D thing that you're controlling these little robots and stuff, you know, and you tell the robots, like you could actually point and click and tell them to go someplace, or you say go to room XYZ and they'll go by itself. But some of these ships have like these alien creatures on them that if you send your drones in there, they'll basically get destroyed.
Right.
So you have to find ways around them, and either you have one drone that has like motion sensors on it and you control all the doors in this ship. So he's like, okay, I'm going to open these doors and then wait for the alien to move into that room, and then I'm going to close the door. So now that room is accessible to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of little strategy like that in it, which I thought was really kind of fun. It definitely gets challenging because there's things like a drone could turn on a power supply and that powers parts of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to the other part of the ship, you have to send that same drone over there. So that, and there's all these like little things you have to consider with how you maneuver your drones, what you do with them. And as you're doing this, so there's this little story that is kind of coming out as you kind of figure out what the hell is going on. Like, why are these derelict ships even out there? Why are there so many of them? Where are these creatures out there? And you slowly kind of piece together that story as you progress. So it's a neat game. It's an indie game. It won all sorts of awards. And it's not like a heavy duty, high intensity, shoot 'em up kind of thing. You know, it's definitely like a slow burn kind of game.
Huh. Okay.
The way you describe it, it sounds like it's kind of puzzly in a way. Like you're kind of having a way to solve something.
It is a little puzzly. Absolutely.
And you kind of touched on this a bit, but I wonder, maybe you aren't far enough in to know, but the description alludes to there's a reason the universe has become this graveyard of ships. Is there enough of a story there to pull you through, or is the story more of just a reason to justify why you're searching for these ships, or do you think is there a real story emerging?
You start becoming curious as you go through these ships, because, I mean, granted, they're all just derelict ships, and they're just basically different layouts of the ships. That's all you're kind of dealing with, and that's the puzzle part of it, right? Yeah. How do you maneuver things so you don't die? But as you progress, though, the story just sort of comes out, like, there's different star systems you can go to. So as you move from one to the other, the story progresses and you learn a little bit more. Now, I don't know the whole story yet. I haven't finished it, but it's interesting enough where it's like, okay, you know, but the puzzles themselves are actually enough to kind of carry me forward because they add complexity, obviously, like most games do. You know, as you kind of go through the ships, they get more complicated. You know, it's a little harder to figure out how to get around the alien that's in there because there's no real way to like fighting them. So it's almost like you're trying to avoid fighting at all costs.
But that's the puzzle. Yeah.
But that's the puzzle side of it.
Sure.
And you discover, like, you find like a drone that's been destroyed, but it has an enhancement that you need. Like a feature. So you're able to take that part, bring it back to your ship and put it into one of your drones. Yeah. And right now it goes for like $20. I wait for it's on sale. I bought it on sale. It was like $9.
Yeah.
I definitely feel I'll get my Corys.
Sounds like an easier purchase at $10, doesn't it?
Oh, wait. It was an instant buy at $10.
Got it.
And I think I've played it probably like 4 hours total since I've had it. And this is going away, but it's like one of these games that every now and then I'm like, where do I feel like playing? I'll go do that and maybe try to move a couple more ships forward.
So you can do bite size play. You can go in and do a little. Okay. Yeah.
Do a little at a time. I'm not really trying to like blast through this and speed run it.
Mm-hmm, cool.
So that's what I got.
Duskers.
So John, you have one that you got me totally addicted to.
Yeah, I've addicted more than one person to it. And I feel like George might be downloading it before I finish this description. So everyone I've told about this game, I have intentionally not described it. Now, that doesn't make for a very good podcast episode. So I'm going to describe it a little bit here. Many people I've just said, go download this, trust me, because I want you to be surprised. But so the game is called Baba Is You is the name of the game. And it's a really interesting game. And I'll describe it in a way that I know George will understand. And that is, what if Flux, the card game, was a video game?
What?
So if you've ever played the card game Flux, it's a card game where the rules change based on what cards you play.
Oh, yeah. That game drives you crazy. Yeah.
So Baba Is You is this really simple tile-based puzzle game where you're this little guy called Baba. Just a little, I don't know what you are. It's very pixely, very, very rudimentary graphics. And your object initially is to get to the flag. That's all you're trying to do. The rules are laid out on the board. It says Baba is you and flag is goal. Well, you could push things around and you can actually change the rules by pushing pieces of the board that include the rules with them. I know that sounds batshit crazy, but for example,
we're getting some primer kind of territory.
It's very kind of meta, right? So, for example, if my goal is the flag, but if I also have the word rock, I can't get to the flag. If I push the word rock over so it says goal is rock, I can win by touching the rock instead. Or if it says lava is death, I could push pieces around so that instead lava is safe and it doesn't hurt me. You can change the rules of the game as you play the game. It is amazingly just mind-boggling to play.
It really is. And let me tell you, it's like I've gotten stuck for a bunch of them, but
it's easy to get
stuck. It's like one of these ones that once you figure it out, you're slapping yourself. Like every time I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. That was so easy. But everyone is like that for me.
I wish the fourth listeners could see on the screen. I know George must be watching the video. He's staring slack-jawed at his screen. No, what are you seeing?
I haven't watched the video. I think I had a stroke while you were giving that description of the game.
Understandable.
It's super meta.
Understandable. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of bananas.
So what system is this game on?
It's on everything.
Yeah, but
I'm playing it on my phone on Android. You can play it on iOS, Android, PC, Switch, Xbox. It's on everything. I think it first came out in 2019, but it's now proliferated everywhere. It's a kind of a premium game. I think it costs maybe $3 or $4 on mobile. It's not like 99 cents.
It's $6.99.
Is it $6.99? Worth every penny.
I've got $700 in Google credit. You've got credits, right? So guess I'm buying it.
It's one of those, when you start playing it, it's like, oh my God, I didn't know games could do this. It's so weird.
I mean, I thought I taught myself a lesson the last time by not buying the game before you finished describing it. But apparently I'm still
you didn't learn your
it.
Lesson.
It's just a cool, original game.
It's not like anything else you've ever played, which makes it refreshing.
Yeah. And this game could have probably existed 30 years ago.
Absolutely. This could have been on your Commodore 64 easily. Yeah. There's no reason it couldn't have been.
But it's super engaging. Yeah, it's a great game.
Well, I guess I'll be figuring out if I like it in about 30 seconds.
So there's not much more to say about it. Baba Is You, if you've not checked it out, whatever platform you've got on your phone, on your Xbox, your Switch, whatever, you should check it out. If you're not sure if my description is too intricate or batshit crazy to understand, go check out a video and see. The first time you move one of the rules around and everything in the world changes, you'll go, what? And then you'll go, yeah. Oh, this is something different.
Just always make sure Baba is something. I've realized that had to be.
Yes. Yeah. Good luck, George.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
There's a party going on right here. Wendy's Crispy Nuggets, they're new and here this year. So bring your good friends and your family too. Wendy's got crispy chicken nuggets for you. Come on now.
Celebrate new crispy chicken nuggets at Wendy's.
As we come in the last turn of the show, we always like to take a moment here to talk about the things we're looking at or looking forward to between now and the next time we get together. And I will get going. So there are several things that I'm looking at. So just today, a brand new season of The Movies That Made Us just dropped. This is the Netflix series where they take some of the seminal films that we grew up with, and specifically Gen X films. This second season, they're looking at Back to the Future, Pretty Woman, Jurassic Park, and Forrest Gump. They do a great job of these, and I can't wait to see what they... the stories they tell behind these films. Also looking forward to, I mentioned, what a twist, Shyamalan, our favorite director we love to hate. He has a new film that actually just came out the day we're recording this. Haven't seen it yet. His new film, Old, just hit theaters, getting mixed reviews, but I'm a Shyamalan sucker. I'm going to go see it. So can't wait to see that. And then finally, a film that is coming out July 30th that, despite myself, kind of in a Space Jam kind of vein, I'm looking forward to seeing the Jungle Cruise film. God. No. That's with Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt. Geez. Now, listen, I said the same thing about Pirates of the Caribbean, and turned out that was kind of a fun ride. Jungle Cruise, another Disney ride, turned into a film. But it looks kind of fun. And I think Mo and I have a $10 bet riding on this film.
Yeah.
Because based on the trailer, we have a prediction about which way the twist is going to go. So I'm waiting to see who's going to get 10 bucks. But yeah, Jungle Cruise coming out the 30th. So those are things I'm looking at and forward to. Mo, what about you? What do you got coming up?
I have a couple of things. So one, the Olympics are starting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And really, I'm just looking forward to more because, you know, these people work so hard to get there. I just feel like I need to do
for the
I
ones they let get there. They cut a whole bunch of them out.
Yeah, it's crazy, especially this year with no spectators. It's just bizarre. But I definitely am looking forward to catching some of that, especially the U.S. track and field team, because it looks pretty amazing this year. Yeah. Okay. Suicide Squad, August 6th, second, or Suicide Squad 2 looks pretty damn good.
The James Gunn Suicide Squad.
Yes, definitely looking forward to that.
So is that a sequel or a reboot or what is
it's,
it?
It's an offshoot reboot sequel-ish kind of thing. The Suicide Squad gets new members all the time.
Okay.
So you can call a movie Suicide Squad and have different people. The only guy who's really consistent is Nick Flagg. Everybody else is up for grabs. They could come or go. Deadshot is most often in there.
So yes and no and all of the above.
Boomerang. Right. And but James Gunn, the guy who does Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure. Oh yeah.
When they fired him from Guardians of 3, this was the film he ended up making instead.
Got it.
Ah, okay. Well, so look forward to that. There's a new, actually, my daughter got me a Neil Gaiman book called Norse Mythology, which I'm looking forward to reading because it looks pretty interesting. He reimagines all the Norse mythology with like more kind of modern language. So it makes it a little bit easier to understand. understand, I think. Mm-hmm. And what I'm really looking forward to, though, is a movie that's coming out July 30th, The Green Knight.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sir Gawain.
Another 2020 movie finally coming out in 2021.
Yeah, finally coming out. I always loved the Arthurian legend, you know, and The Green Knight story is particularly an interesting one. And also the actors and stuff they got in it just looks like a pretty strong movie. So I'm hoping that it's as good as I think it is, but I don't know. Could go a lot of different directions, I guess.
Well, I was saying, I watched the trailer and I can't tell from the trailer what the movie is about, but you guys were saying it's based on actually knowing the mythology already around it, probably. So,
yeah.
It looks gorgeous. I'm eager to see it.
If you've
read
the story, then you know what the movie's going to be about. If you haven't, you're completely lost.
Okay. Well, I'm okay with that.
The movie will tell me. You can read a couple paragraphs and you'll be totally caught up in the story.
Probably.
It's not that hard. It's not that deep, really. But it looks interesting. And they said the actors are what I'm looking forward to. So
sounds good. George, how about you?
Yeah. So as well as the same day that we're recording this and Mo is watching Olympics and John is going to old, I'm planning on trying to check out Snake Eyes, the new G.I. Joe film.
Yeah.
Looks really fun to
me.
Looks good. Right after that, later on, right when the next podcast drops, Star Trek Lower Decks Season 2.
Season 2. Woo! That's right. That's
coming out.
That's right.
We are in the midst of another Olympic group called Marble League 2021, baby. Episode 3 is in, or event number 3. Yeah, my O-Rangers are not doing well. They're 13th out of 16. They're not looking like they're going to pull it out this year, but it's still a lot of fun. I still
hang
enjoy
there.
That.
Stay true to them. Be a good fan. Now.
Yeah,
stick
and well, they're even developing a mobile game that'll be out soon. So Marble League
really?
Mobile game is coming
based on the damn marbles? Really?
These people are making money hand over fist, man. I aspire to be them at this point. But I think the thing I'm most looking forward to, just today, my wife gave me permission and allowed me to spend crazy amounts of money. And one of the items that I picked up is the Numbskull Galaga Arcade Quarter Scale Cabinet.
Wow.
These things have been out of production for quite a while. They finally pulled them back in on one of the geek websites. I forget which one, Think Geek or Left Geek or Right Geek. I don't know. One of the geek sites has this Numbskull Gallagher Arcade. It's a little pricey. It's $155.
That's not bad. They were running like $300-$400 aftermarket, though.
Well,
okay.
I haven't told you about shipping.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
Shipping was $44, which
is a big cabinet, though.
You're still under two,
I guess, and maybe that's why, because I'm kind of used to the replicates, which are 6 scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The shipping on them is around $20.
Right.
Okay.
So I wouldn't have thought this would have been double, but I'm hoping, you know, quarter scale versus 6 scale. It'll make a big enough difference that I'll say, oh, that's where the other $20 went in shipping. So.
I think so. I mean, it's Galaga. It's going to be huge. I think you're going to dig it. I've seen nothing but good things about these Numbskull cabs.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I assume since they're in stock, I don't have to wait till like quarter four of this year like I do for my Kubert cabinet that I also purchased today.
Yeah, I did too.
Replicate.
So,
yeah. Me too. Yeah. Dang it. They got a lot of our money.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. That is going to wrap it up for episode 103 of the show. We're going to be back in 2 weeks with a regular episode, but next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. Next week, we are talking all about everyone's favorite or least favorite, I don't know, depending on your perceptions of it, streaming juggernaut Netflix. But we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of Netflix before they were the streaming giant when they were just a little upstart DVD mailing website, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of history there.
Yeah, so I think I still have one in my kitchen drawer I need to send back.
They might be listening. Don't say anything about that.
It doesn't matter. Netflix, keep it as long as you want.
That's what they
the
say.
Rule,
that's
right?
True. You're just not going to get another one. That's all. That's the problem, though. Yep. So we're going to talk about the history evolution and eventually bring us up to today where we are with Netflix. That's coming your way next week. We hope you'll join us for that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you, man.
Oh, man. Always fun.
Fourth listeners, it's you. We all appreciate most of all, though, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown-Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
I'm ready for the promo. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to read it with a straight face.
You can do it, man. I'm good.
We believe in you. All right.
We review a new film where Nicolas Cage fights to get back his stolen truffle pig.
I'm sorry. I can't help it.
I made it through. You didn't even have to read it.
That's okay. It's just funny. Anyway, okay.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.